Hello and welcome to All Access Pass. I'm Desi Nair and I'm the Access Collective Coordinator here on All Access Pass. And I'm joined in studio by technically five other people, but we're going to have three people talking into the mics today. If you guys just want to introduce yourself, maybe we'll start with you, DP.
Yep. My name is DP, as Desi pointed, and it's good to be here.
Got two more people here in the corner.
Yeah, I'm Kaylin. It's great to be here today.
Hi, I am Patricia, and it's awesome to be here today.
Nice. So we have a jam-packed show for you today. Worth sticking around the full hour. We're going to be talking about a new show coming out about Down syndrome. And then Patricia is going to be talking about his own personal experiences having a brother with Down syndrome. And we're also going to be talking about something super local that's kind of happening in Vancouver right now. We're going to be talking about that new report that was put out to TransLink about changes that need to happen with HandyDart. So we're going to jump right into that HandyDart topic right away. So for those of you that are not familiar with HandyDart, those are those mini yellow and white buses you see around town. It's described as being accessible, safe, and an affordable mode of transport for individuals living with a cognitive or physical disability who cannot or prefer not to use regular transit. But we're going to get more into that today. HandyDart was previously run by non-profit contractors, but a recent shift to private companies has caused harm to those who use it. This was primarily due to poor service, high rejection rates to riders, and a strike caused by their contract provider, MV Transportation, attempting to eliminate workers' pension. So all of these changes have led to an increase in taxi use, which roughly costs the same amount, but it's unreliable, has led to a high-risk situations for riders' physical and emotional safety. In September 2016, the new TransLink CEO announced that $820,000 were going to go to increase HandyDart services and as an emergency top-up to meet demand, and that 90% of this would go specifically to the HandyDart service. Unfortunately, these changes weren't exactly effective, and instead, taxi trips actually went up by almost 30%. So on top of this, about 8,500 more individuals per year over the past decade have a disability. We are living in an increasingly senior population in Canada, with 43% of our population being above 75 years or older, and most of them identify as having a mobile disability. So the big news here is that a 37-page report was delivered by Eric Daughtry from EcoPath Planning to the TransLink Mayor's Council 2 weeks ago on October 19th. This report was asking for TransLink to bring the HandyDart service to be in-house as a public service rather than contracting it out to a large corporation. Some arguments for this change is that the lack of accessible and affordable transit leads to social isolation and further inhibits those with a disability from participating in their local communities. Furthermore, it perpetuates the experiences of poverty. Those with a disability already experience barriers to employment. The current fallouts of the HandyDart system can limit the access to locations of further employment, creating even more barriers.
Due to BC's fast-growing population, TransLink's HandyDart service has gone through many changes. A member of the HandyDart Riders Committee, Bette Teskin, stated back in 28's CBC News report, quote, there are quotes from medical practitioners where we have to visit another doctor the following day, and HandyDart would make room for that. That is impossible now. You have to plan at least 7 days advance. In 28, a document was released by the group stating that there were roughly 4,876 trip denials for riders that year. And in 2012, that number reached 37,690. Why was this happening? Eric Daughtry, who at the time was independent transportation planner, responded, quote, the funding has not kept pace with demographics, end quote. However, if you fast forward to 5 years later, handy dart trips have increased by 85,000, according to TransLink in last year's press conference. How is this possible? With much pressure from individuals and organizations within disability communities, TransLink put out a 10-year plan to improve its transit service in BC. Tim Lewis, co-chair of the Handy Dart Riders Alliance, said, quote, "We know that Handy Dart is so much more than just moving individuals from point A to point B," and end quote, and further adds, "If anybody gets a trip turned down, they are homebound for the day. They are sentenced to house arrest," end quote. To conclude, Lewis believes the increase in service will help people with physical disabilities to better access their workplace and volunteer opportunities in their communities. And yet, the problems with Handy Dart services are far from over. Eric Daughtry, now the transportation planning consultant, noted, quote, "Everyone has recognized that there is increased need and because of the aging population. But basically, this crisis has been ongoing since 2013, and we haven't seen decisive action to make the situation better for the riders," end quote. Chris Bryan, spokesperson for TransLink, responded and claimed, "We are ultimately responsible for the Handy Dart services," end quote. And Bryan concluded by saying, "We have received a number of complaints and we are taking them very seriously," end quote. But by doing it at a better cost, he also acknowledged, and they are putting the service on the road. So Daughtry is hopeful about the future and stated, quote, "TransLink's mayors, councils, and the newly elected NDP government have committed to increasing Handy Dart. We haven't seen it on the roads very much yet, but the promise is there at least," end quote.
Thank you, DP. And now, like with that, so we had our collective member, Sarah, help out do the background research for this segment on Handy Dart, and she got a little frustrated at the current state of Handy Dart because it seems as if Handy Dart appears to be a political pawn at the same time, and that the public need for Handy Dart is high enough that the promise for better accessible transport is like a gaining favor, voting favor kind of thing. As well, there is a segment in the report that justifies the value of accessible transport. The quote is just here. So accessible TransLink, including Handy Dart, evolved as our society acknowledged the benefits for allowing people with physical or cognitive disabilities to participate in society rather than being segregated in institutions or isolated at home. Now, reading this, we were quite surprised because we didn't feel that this kind of thing needed justification at all. Now, DP, I know you actually use Handy Dart.
Yeah.
What's your personal experience been with it?
Well, from a personal standpoint, I've been using a Handy Dart for a very young age due to my physical disability. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to have like doctor's appointments and wheelchair appointments, and my mom would book and accompany me to them. For my mom, who couldn't drive and still can, the service gave her a great deal of support to assist in giving a good quality of life to her child, that being me. But as I got older, I used the service on my own, by booking a ride and attending classes, meeting friends for lunch or a movie, or even going to medical appointments. It allowed me to be more independent, gave me much-needed freedom to have a social life with friends, and made me feel connected to the world. But by no means this transportation service is perfect. But I, too, have grown frustrations with the service, with booking, and later it messed up with the scheduling and waiting for the drivers to be on time. But at the same time, I try to remember that without this unique and important service, my life would be incomplete, very much isolated from the world I live in, and, you know, fulfill my dreams and aspiration like everyone else does. Basically, there should be more handy dart buses out there and not be taken away. So that's my humble opinion.
Thank you, DP. So with that, there have just been some suggestions that have been put out to improve this handy dart service. So it includes increasing regular transit service and using larger buses to reduce overcrowding, improving transit priority measures, including transit lanes that can be used by handy dart vehicles, installing public washrooms at major transit transfer points. I thought that was really interesting, a good point to be made. And lastly, voluntary training and assistance for seniors and people with disability who want to use regular transit services. So that's kind of what's been going on with Handy Dart. Let's hope that, you know, these changes get made. Mm-hmm. Seems like quite a big corporate issue.
Battle.
That,
yeah.
I think will take a while to kind of resolve, if it does resolve it, if anything.
Hopefully it does.
Hopefully. Yeah. So with that, we're going to head into a song break. Guys, don't go anywhere. After this, we're going to be talking about a brand new show that came out that features actors with Down syndrome. So yeah, stick around. You're listening to All Access Pass.
Feeling abashed, there's no need. There's a freedom in the unknown. Feel it, it will pass. Now is a time for savoring. Ingenue is curious. Acronyms make her delirious. Ingenue considers winning. Pink lace in game spinning.
I'm not.
enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Okay, welcome back to All Access Pass. You were just listening to a song by Bonje called... Ungenuine? Look at Addison. Addison's our kind of like DJ on our show. Just got the nod of approval. With that, so our big topic this week is kind of understanding Down syndrome. And with that, I know, Kaylin, this is something you have personal interest in. And you actually brought to our attention something really exciting that's happening that you read about last week.
So as we know, Down syndrome is becoming more and more recognized in society and is also being portrayed more in pop culture. Excitingly enough, Amazon Prime has just announced that they are releasing a pilot episode for a TV show titled Love You More, and this will air on November 10th. So this show has 9 actors with Down syndrome in the cast, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how the creators will depict Down syndrome and whether the characters will be highlighted for their humanity, their disability, or something else. I'm also interested to see how the show will accommodate the accessibility needs of the cast and how they will strive to incorporate an inclusive show environment. But what is Down syndrome? So as defined by the Canadian Down Syndrome Society, Down syndrome is a naturally occurring chromosomal arrangement that has always been a part of the human condition. The occurrence of Down syndrome is universal across racial and gender lines, and it is estimated to be present in approximately 1 in 800 births in Canada. Down syndrome is not a disease, disorder, defect, or medical condition, and it is inappropriate and offensive to refer to people with Down syndrome as afflicted with or suffering from it. Down syndrome itself does not require either treatment or prevention. The sole characteristic shared by all persons with Down syndrome is the presence of extra genetic material associated with the 21st chromosome. It is also important to highlight the role of language when referring to people with disabilities. People with Down syndrome do not like to be called special needs, as they rightly point out that their needs for inclusion, education, respect, healthcare, etc., are all universal needs. Check out notspecialneeds.com and the hashtag SayTheWord campaign, which refers to the word disabled, for more information on the preferred language of the disability community. I look forward to seeing how Love You More will highlight this underrepresented segment of our community, and hope you'll join us in watching on November 10th.
Yeah, thank you, Kaylin. Also excited to see how this show turns out. So with that, Patrick, I know you have kind of like your own personal story with your family about Down syndrome. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Hi, everyone. Yes, that's right. We'll go through it, and if you have any questions or you want to comment on anything, you're welcome. And one of the experiences that changed my outlook and perspective about life was the birth of my brother, Romeo, 6 years ago. He was born with Down syndrome. So you remember that we were only 4 before my brother's birth. My parents, my sister, who's now 18 years old, and me. And I remember vividly the night my mother called me and my sister to the family table. She was sat next to my dad and with a look of uncertainty and confusion. Maybe she didn't know how to express a message back then, but then she just said it. You will have a new brother. We were extremely excited about the idea, especially in my case, a young little brother that you can look after and mentor and teach stuff. But my mother also added there was a high probability he could have Down syndrome due to her advanced age. We didn't care. My sister and I told her firmly that we will accept, protect, and love him in spite of his condition. And since that day, I tried to learn as much as possible about Down syndrome scientifically, legally, and socially. Why it happens, and so forth. That is how I discovered that Down syndrome occurs when a person has a full or partial extra copy of chromosome 21. That's the reason why my brother is stronger than other kids, and he has really high defenses when it comes to illness. Every time he gets sick, everyone in my house is afraid, because what may seem as a simple fever or a simple I don't know, cough or coughing for him, it's going to be like a severe, something severe for us. Something that will put us, I mean, in bed like for 2 or 3 days. So disabled people in Ecuador were once marginalized and considered unemployable. But in 2007, a single government initiative changed everything. They created a new Ecuadorian disability law. And that is how, after my brother's birth, I became really knowledgeable about it. My belief was that if I wanted to create an environment of inclusion and openness, not only in my home, but with the people around me and the community in general, I had to know and understand the legal rights my brother was entitled to, and if possible, to educate people in the path. Because sometimes I found many people that didn't know what Down syndrome was. But we're just saying, you know, as we were mentioning before, people of special needs, or some terms that are not appropriate. So before coming here, I watched my brother's struggle for his life. I shared with him his physical language therapies, his frustrations, and observed his daily progress. And all of that caused me to analyze my own position in the world. I still remember when we were trying to find good therapists, it was difficult. Here, well, I believe that Ecuador has some things to teach to Canada about disability issues, but it is a two-way street. Canada has many good things, but at that time, just imagine being in a developing country trying to find those resources or facilities for a disabled person. It was a really hard time, but we could finally, through our family work, place him in a really good school with kids that are his same age. Now, for all that experience, that is how I came to understand that I have to continue growing as a human being, and that I came into this world for a purpose. That I know that maybe something happens to my parents in the future, I will be responsible for my brother, for my sister. But I think the most important lesson is what love, unity, and families work can achieve. My brother continues to grow and expand his knowledge with all of our support. Before coming here, one of my concerns was that he was 3 years old. I came here three years ago, but my parents were like, what if he doesn't remember you anymore as soon as you show up at the airport? As I spent in Canada 18 months straight before visiting my family. But it didn't matter. As soon as I was in the airport and he saw me, he ran towards me and he tried to hug me and he said, Pato, which is the nickname that people use to call me in Spanish. And right now my reflections is that so far it's important to learn perseverance and consistency. Having my brother taught me those qualities, and I experienced solidarity, tolerance, and the meaning of the term inclusion in the life of human beings. I learned the value of each human being, regardless of strengths and weaknesses. Through my brother's work, his achievements, his love and zest for life, and his unique spirit and skill, he's really outgoing, extrovert, and to every girl in his class, he calls them beautiful or pretty. He's real flirty. But well, he has shown me the true value of life and the special value of each and every human being.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm just like reveling in that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Stick around. We're actually going to be talking more to Patrizio. We're not done talking to Patrizio. We're going to be talking about kind of like what is the climate for people with disabilities in his country, Ecuador. So with that, stick around. We're going to head into a song. This is Annabelle by Charlie Flynn. Enjoy.
Bum, 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 bum. Hello, Annabelle, I know that's not your name, but I can rhyme Banana Bell, and it's just not the same. Do you
like the ukulele? Would you hate me? Would you date me? Do you overestimate me? Perhaps I shouldn't speculate. We was this the casual you had in mind? Some compromise we redefined. Perhaps I'm going kinda blind. I'd like to think I'd be inclined to set my cold dead heart aside. But my heart is underqualified. I need some feeling cyanide. Are you some kind of glucose that runs through all my veins? Are you some kind of sucrose? I know you're not aspartame. Do you hear the palpitations? Do you notice my elations? And then feel my affirmations. Here, I'll give you some translations. It's my heart. I'll enlist you and insist you continue to exist. You are like sunshine with a twist, like stars but in a kiss. It is quite the space to coexist with a weirdly shaped crustacean who is some kind of half Asian, with emotional constipation and his awkward at flirtation, stuck in eternal damnation. It's me. I hear that's okay, that's how they say that I swing some kind of way, and I don't give the time of day, so I am free to pine away anyway. Do you pretend, extend your name? Kidding, I don't want to change you, rearrange you to attain the perfect rhyme, Banana Bell. But you must admit you'd be a nanny in a banana nanny split. Was this the casual you first thought of? The casualest kind of love. Sorry, was the work too much? Robots, noises, and other stuff. It's inexact, my heart attack. All bricks in case I get more cracked. At least I'll stay matter of fact or fiction.
You're biking, you're biking, you're biking. Oh no! Something broke and you need it fixed, or you need to learn how to fix it, and the AMS Bike Co-op and Bike Kitchen have been there for you. And now is your chance to be there for them. Come out November 10th to GAM Gallery at 110 East Hastings from 7 p.m. to midnight for Pedaling Art, their second annual fundraiser and bike art auction in collaboration with Our Community Bikes. So share the love. Make it out.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hello, you're listening to All Access Pass here on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you for sticking around. So just a little story with that last song. That was Annabelle by Charlie Flynn, and it's from her album, P.S. I'm Gayish. And Addison, who picks our music, just let us know that this album was used to come out to her grandmother. So that's a really nice, beautiful kind of relation to the song. With that, we're gonna, so Patrick, when you were talking about your story with your brother, you were saying that you kind of had to, deal with the disability laws in Ecuador, and we're super curious about that, so we just wanted to kind of ask you what was your relation to that, and I guess we'll just, we have a couple questions for you, and we'll just start off. So my first question, for you is, so for those of you, just to start off, who don't know that much about Ecuador, what can you tell us about the country?
Well, it's a beautiful country with friendly people and amazing food, but besides that, okay, I know we're small, but Ecuador is located in the northwestern part of South America, bordered by Colombia on the north, Peru on the east and south, and it faces the Pacific Ocean to the west. It also includes beautiful Galapagos Islands in the Pacific. We have four different regions: the Galapagos Islands, the coast, the highlands, and the Amazon. So the weather varies a lot. Our main language is Spanish, and I encourage you to go to Ecuador.
Nice.
So, in your opinion, is Ecuador accessible to people with disabilities?
Kind of a very big question there, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, as I was saying before, this is a two-way street. I believe that Canada has more accessible parts in infrastructure, and at the same time, when you're applying to a job or you're applying to a university or to something, they normally always include, hey, do you have any accessibility necessity or any related topic? Meanwhile, in Ecuador, it is still, let's say, evolving. The government has been trying to work really hard over the past decade. We can see in Ecuador that the government has spent like lots of money in public facilities and to make public transportation more accessible and provide people with wheelchairs, prosthetics, and caretakers. At the same time, the government has promoted Ecuador as a hospitable tourist destination for people with physical disability. At least in the biggest city, like Guayaquil, Quito, and Cuenca, you can find the public transportation, shopping malls, hotels, and any other public infrastructure to be adequate to fulfill the needs. And so far, yeah, I have my stats here. Before the disability law was passed, Ecuador spent on average $900,000. But after that, and based on numbers of the last year, it spends $200 million per year.
Nice. Jeez. That's super. I didn't know that about Ecuador, because I know, DP, that's something we looked at last season, is like looking at cities that are like tourist friendly for people with wheelchairs. And like if a city is old or it's, you know, that's not something they put their budget in, something that most of us see as like a perfect tourist destination is not actually accessible if you're in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. With that, okay, so kind of turning it around, you were just mentioning some, but what kind of other challenges are faced by people with disabilities in Ecuador?
There are many challenges. Well, the Ecuadorian law stipulates that 4% of public and private employees, okay, talking about the workplace, should be people with disabilities. However, meeting this target doesn't always mean that a situation is ideal. There are examples in which companies hire a blind person and then put that person in the desk without doing too much, simply because they want to comply with the law.
Right.
For that reason, there are many organizations and government observatories that go to different workplaces, perform an inspection, and they actually give them a grade based of, okay, how inclusive of how prepared they are. So based on that, they will pass this test or they will sanction by the law. That can be something economical or just a warning.
Nice.
So recently, disability rights has taken center stage in Ecuador, thanks to the new president, Lenin Moreno. What has the feedback been like from people over there, especially from people with disabilities?
Okay, the main feedback has been this: to have more observers or institutions that actually look after companies, institutions, and people so they can make the law enforceable. That is one main trouble in developing countries, that you can have the law, but if you need to know the law to make it enforceable. Otherwise, if people ignore the law, it's going to be really difficult to, first of all, know the rights, and second of all, to claim for them. And as I was saying, the example about the workplace, I think that is one of the feedbacks. Other is just to continue promoting and advocating more projects of inclusion, specifically in education. Mm-hmm.
So Moreno, a wheelchair user himself, he was elected. Can you tell us what the citizens of Ecuador was promised and, you know, as part of his campaign for people with disabilities?
Sure. When Mr. Moreno assumed office, he was the only head of state in the world who needed a wheelchair to get around. And at the beginning, when he arrived on the national political stage, he was not maybe always taken seriously or highly influential due to these misconceptions that existed in Ecuador. But he's a really charming guy. His tendency to break into songs at political events and his leadership on social services initiatives and social and economic policies for marginalized communities made him very popular among Ecuadorians.
Awesome.
The first time, well, also, he still wants to make more censuses to measure, how are the living conditions of disabled people in really remote areas.
Interesting.
That is, I will say, the main challenge or one of his main objectives as a new head of state.
Interesting. So, like, obviously, it seems like you know a lot about disability law in Ecuador. Why was it so important that you learned disability law in your country, and what kind of benefits came from this? I know you were speaking a bit on this just before the break.
Well, about my brother, the thing is that sometimes, well, there are many benefits. Not only you receive tax breaks, but also discounts for special events. If you want to go to a soccer match, you will receive like a 50% discount, which for my brother is awesome because he loves soccer. But besides that, they don't pay for any kind of government-related process.
Nice.
They receive, I think, a 60% discount on transportation. It includes public service, airplane tickets, inside Ecuador. At the same time, one of the main issues that we faced like 5 years ago was that many insurance companies didn't want to include disabled people. So there was a big case going on back in 2014 in which many parents and other lawyers that were working in the case as a pro bono, they sued many insurance companies that had denied their services to disabled people. So what happened is that at the end of the day, the decision of the court was to change the constitution of these companies to include disabled people. And as I told you before, it's always good knowing your rights. So you're going to deal with all the obstacles, especially in a developing country.
Nice.
And since coming here to BC, have you noticed any differences in the way Canada treats people with disabilities versus back in Ecuador?
Yeah, that is a really good question. Here, actually, the thing is that, okay, maybe my standards are not the same as yours. Because, okay, in Ecuador, we still have too much work to do. But at least in Vancouver, in the big cities, I believe that there are many accessible areas. I believe that in every time I go to a place, they have like a part that says that if you have a special necessity, you can actually make use of it. Or if you're applying for a job or applying for a university, etc., they will always consider that. In Ecuador, it's not that straightforward. Sometimes you need to call, let's say you go to a concert. You can get a discount, according to the law, to get a ticket. But you need to call the company to let them know that you're actually a disabled person, which sometimes causes trouble.
Awesome. I know. Okay, so we actually have a bit of time here. Was there anything else you wanted to let us know about your experiences dealing with disability law in Ecuador?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the disability law actually encompasses 100 very different articles. And I learned it because of my brother. My parents were not aware of it. So I knew it could provide benefits for us. because we were actually having extra expenses because of my brother's therapies and other things that were needed at that time. At the same time, it's complicated. My sister, I mean, she has multiple sclerosis. So we were three, but actually due to the expenses, the medical expenses, it was like if we were like six children.
Okay.
Okay. So I could find this benefit. We receive subsidies and discount rates in our utilities, in other services, and we try to use the law at our benefit in every time.
Nice. And I remember, so yesterday actually, we were talking through this show and what we're going to cover, and something interesting came up. You were saying, I think it came up, like, what are some common misconceptions that you hear about Down syndrome, like that people maybe tell you or ask about Down syndrome that you've heard? Maybe to give our listeners kind of a better understanding of the kind of what's true and what's not true about Down syndrome.
At least by law in Ecuador, Down syndrome people, the specific term to call them is an intellectual disabled person, not a person with special needs or any other thing that generates misconceptions. And as I told when I was describing my experience, it's an educational process. Sometimes people, they ignore what goes or what is the Down syndrome. So it's real typical to hear those jokes when you do something wrong and they say, okay, are you down or something? It's a misconception. Sometimes I don't get mad. I just correct the person and I educate the person that says that comment.
Nice. Awesome. So I think with that, thank you so much, Patrick, for letting us kind of put you on the spot here.
It was always a pleasure.
With that, we are going to head into a song break. Guys, stick around. This is All Access Pass.
Dripping down my window, I just watch the wind blow away the leaves. Teardrops dripping down my cheeks now, I don't have the strength to heal this pain. So I try and I try, but I
it's not. Sunday, Monday, Sunday, Thursday night only, Thunderbird Radio Hell.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Jay. How's it going?
All right, I guess.
I didn't think I would bump into you in the street.
No, usually on Thursday nights, I'm listening to Thunderbird Radio Hell.
So am I.
Yeah, usually the radio has a show on at 9 p.m. to 11.
9 p.m. to 11 p.m., that's right.
It's a pretty good show.
Is that the show with the live bands?
Yeah, it sounds like there's talking between the band and the guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Interviewing bands while they're still alive.
I'll check it out.
Live from Thunderbird Radio Hell on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Okay, guys, and I think we are all done here on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. Thank you all for tuning in. Also, while we were on air, we noticed that two people called in. We're so sorry we couldn't pick up the phone. It's a jam-packed show. But if you're those two people that called and you have any questions or comments, go ahead and email us at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca or go to our Facebook page, All Access Pass. You can send us a message through there. Yeah.
Yes, at the same time, remember that if you're interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. Thank you to our collective members, Sarah, Taylor, Nadison, who work behind the scenes on this week's episode. Like us on Facebook at All Access Pass. Follow us on Instagram. Thank you for listening and tuning into our show next week. You can listen to our podcast shows at citr.ca. Stick around for Arts Report.
Awesome. Ciao, ciao. Bye, guys.
Hasta luego.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon.